Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Valentine's Day. Also, National Organ Donor Day. Anno Domini 2026, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
Steve Ray, one step ahead of the law, but we hope he shakes the posse soon and shows up here. But in the meantime, for your edification and delectation, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things that you use, nothing to lose, get off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Because here comes the news. Microsoft is introducing a raft of Windows security features that many of us would have assumed are already part of the operating system. These updates, named Windows Baseline Security Mode and User Transparency and Consent, which is kind of neither, are intended to deal with suspect behavior behind the scenes while also prompting the user when an app tries to use a sensitive resource, such as the device's camera or microphone, or wanders into a user's sensitive files. The plan is for Windows to operate with runtime integrity safeguards enabled by default. What a concept. You might have thought that this was already happening, as it's a pretty rudimentary way of protecting your system, but nope. You can have it now, though. This means only properly signed apps, services, and drivers. However, users and administrators can still override the safeguards for that one weird legacy app. Frankly, letting users override the safeguards may not be the best idea. For user transparency and consent, it looks like there will be a lot more nagging in store for you. This new feature will ask for explicit consent when apps access sensitive resources or try to install other software. So users are set to face more prompts, although Microsoft stated those prompts are designed to be clear and actionable, and you'll always have the ability to review and change your choices later. Microsoft has been talking about beefing up Windows security for years, but we all know how that's working out. Its Secure Future Initiative, or SFI, I always thought the F was for something else, predated the CrowdStrike incident, but didn't prevent a piece of malformed code from taking down millions of Windows instances. So there will be a lot more security nagging in your Windows future. Please note that this is separate from all the advertising nagging you're getting now and will get more of in the future. This is also separate from the why are you downloading Chrome when you've already got Edge nagging that you get multiple times before you're allowed to install Chrome. At any rate, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Microsoft dials up the nagging in Windows, and your choices are, can't wait. Not really a problem. Dag nabbit. So, Linux, you say. And, wait, you still use Windows? So far, we've got 32 votes in the poll, and about 46-47% of you are surprised that someone is still using Windows. Voting in the poll is easy. You can do that by heading over to soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And once you voted in the poll, you can wander around some of the important links or whatever we've got there. Or, of course, you can give us a call. You can find those numbers farther down on the right-hand side of the list. Or, of course, you can just give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 800-790-0415. Yeah, people are pretty annoyed with the nagging that's going on in Windows right now. And it's going to get worse.
They got to find some way to keep, you know, nagging you and want more money. If they can sell advertising and anything else.
Well, advertising is everywhere now.
Yeah.
In Windows. You see it just everywhere.
But promoting their products, you know, like.
Well, and promoting their products, yes. But like I said, if for those of you who have not downloaded Google Chrome, whether you intend to install it or not, you should download it. Because what happens is you have to use Edge, of course, to go to the to getchrome.com, or I believe that's what it's called, and download Chrome. And when you do, you get a pop-up that says, why are you wanting to use Chrome? Microsoft Edge is based on the same code, and it's much, much safer.
Yeah, and Nate follows you that much more with ads.
Well, we follow you instead of Google following you. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do download it and you go to install it, you get another pop-up that says, wait a minute, you sure you want to install this? Because Edge is already on your system, and it's more secure.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I got a bridge to sell you, too.
Yeah, there's just a lot of that, and it's getting kind of ridiculous, and people are a little upset. Now, that said, if it's real security information, if it's the sort of thing that Linux and Mac have been doing for years, which say, you know, this is not a secure thing to do. You shouldn't be installing this. Or if you want to install this, you have to prove you're really an administrator.
Yeah.
That I go along with 100%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No problem there.
No problem there. But if it's the kind of nagging that they've been doing up to now, I'm not as impressed as I could be.
That'd be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, exactly. To the phones, our first caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Larry?
Well, first of all, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you.
Luby, I hadn't talked to you since then. I have a problem right now, and it's a money problem.
Can't help you. Thanks for calling.
We have the same problem here at the station. It's called a fund drive twice a year.
Well, I did donate to the fund drive. I'm always going to try to.
Oh, I know you do. You're very loyal.
Thank you, Larry.
Supporter.
My question is, I'm building a podcast station for the church, and I'm using an ATEM as the ATEM Mini Pro ISO as the heart of the system. But like everything, I want to put a drive on it for backup, and I need another backup for my computer at home. Right now, I've been using a Samsung T7 SSD 1 terabyte. I went the other day to look for a price. I said, okay, let me buy both of them. And they've gone from $80 to $170. And I said, whoa. So I looked around and I thought, scam, let me try. Every place was $170. I went back 3 days later, they're $180.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First of all, what's going on? And second, at that price, is there a possibility that I could build my own backup drive and just build it for, say, 2 or 4 terabytes and maybe hang on for a little bit? I don't know what's going on.
All right. So, okay, the reason that the prices are so high, I can give it to you in two letters, A and I. The AI boom has bought up all the RAM and all of the SSDs for the next 5 years.
Prices have basically tripled on them.
Yeah, prices have basically tripled on most stuff, and it's a real hassle right now. People are finding that in terms of building a system, it is now less expensive to buy spinning hard drives than it is to buy SSDs. And spinning hard drives for backup are fine.
Yeah.
There are two caveats, one for spinning hard drives and one for SSDs. Both of them need to be plugged in and run every couple of months. Spinning hard drives will freeze after a while. Those are not entirely plugged in. I couldn't. Spinning hard drives will freeze after a while. If you don't use them for a long time or you get them too cold, the lubricant freezes. And then they stop spinning, and then they're no longer spinning drives. They are now what we call in the tech world doorstops.
Stiction.
And for SSDs, they forget after a while. They forget the information if they're not plugged in every few months for a couple of hours.
So let me interject then. On the Mac, The Mac backs up every 5 minutes unless you get some third-party software to kind of really slow it down.
Right.
So on my machines, they're plugged in. They're always on.
Perfect.
I don't turn the machines off. And so it just sits there quietly in the background and just backs up. Now, I do have a third-party software that tries to, I don't need it backed up every 5 minutes. And so I try to back it up every hour or something like that, a little bit more reasonable. But the spinning drives would be the same thing. I'm going to plug them on, never turn them off.
Well, then you don't have a problem. They'll just spin. They'll just spin forever. So basically the idea here is that AI is buying up everything that's solid state, whether it's RAM or drives.
Why?
Because they need all that storage and all of that memory in order to keep collecting all of your data.
What do you mean all of my? Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah, that's a different rabbit hole.
AI needs the RAM for processing new models and the storage for holding those models. I've heard from the construction industry, housing construction sales are way down because all the contractors are building AI,
100,000 square foot buildings.
Yeah.
Now I can hear myself. Thank you.
There you go. In terms of what you want, RAM, you can't get away from. If you're going to buy RAM, it's going to cost you a lot more if you can even find it. If you're looking for a backup solution, a spinning drive is going to be fine. You don't care if it takes an extra 3 seconds to back up. It happens in the background. And, back in the day when it was an 8088, then yes, backing up was slow. But now it happens under the hood. It happens as a separate task in the background. You don't even know about it. You don't even care about it. If it takes an extra 3 seconds, heck of it, it takes an extra 5 minutes. You don't care.
You're not paying attention to it anyways.
Right. So
you're off doing other things.
When you're looking for a backup drive, particularly one that is going to stay plugged in for eternity, then a spinning drive is currently a much less expensive alternative than an SSD.
Okay, so I don't know if you can do it over the air, but if you can, any suggestions for a brand or anything like that?
There are any number of good ones. I haven't bought a drive in so long. I used to love Seagates, and I used to love Western Digital. But most of them nowadays are the companies that are left, honestly, are pretty good. Don't go super cheap. Don't go a no-name brand. But, any of the normally known, take a look at the, if you're going to buy it off of some website, take a look at the number of stars. Take a look at the ratings.
Right. Well, Seagate, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is depressing.
Well, yes, and I agree with you. There's no real need for this. There's no real reason for it. The interesting thing is that the AI systems have bought ahead for like 5 or 6 years.
And for the first time in many years, NVIDIA has outbid Apple for TSMC's entire production run.
And so you're going to find Apple is in some hurting pretty
Everyone soon. Is asking, is iPhone 18 going to cost more?
Yes, it is. Let me mm-hmm. solve that for you right now. We don't do predictions here, but yes, it is going to cost
more. That's
a
given.
Yes. And phones in general are going to cost more, except maybe low-end phone because nobody wants those chips. SSDs are going to keep rising in price. RAM is going to keep rising in price until the AI bubble bursts. And then we're going to see a debacle, quite frankly. But right now, your best bet for a backup system is a spinning hard drive.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
As Steve Gibson was just talking about, he bought two RAID 6 boxes and put like six SSDs in them each for his backup, and two of them failed abnormally early. And he said, I went back to spinning drives. It's a lot cheaper. It's RAID 6, so you can lose two drives and not lose any data. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. There's still a place for spinning drives.
And that place starts at backups.
Yep.
You don't need the speed for a backup.
Well, all of my computers have all. I live in the Apple universe, and everything that's up and running is always backing up. And the ones at the church are always backing up, and that's why I bought the Macs, because they just sit there quietly in the background, and every so often they back up. So once I plug them in, I never turn them off until it says, hey, you're almost out of space. Then I plug a new one in. But as I said, I got ready to plug a new one in the other day and at home and got smacked with a 100% increase in price. And I'm saying, first, is this a scam? And so I'm looking around, and now the prices are changing daily on me.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So in this particular, particularly for backups, stick with a spinning drive. You can get a high-end spinning drive, a large-capacity spinning drive for a significantly lower amount of money than you can. And it didn't used to be that way. It used to be the other way around. But now, now spinning drives are much cheaper.
Well, that's why I'm a member. As usual, thank you guys, because I was ready to go in lockdown. I thought, this is nuts.
Yeah,
but it is nuts, but pretty much. All right. Well, thank you guys. I will continue listening.
And you can
thanks, Larry.
You can set Time Machine now. It used to be once an hour, and you had to have third party software to change it. They added once a day and once a week for people that don't.
Oh, I hadn't looked at that lazily.
In later OSs.
Okay, well, I've got the latest OS on everything, so I'll take a look at it today and set it, because you know how it used to back up every 5 minutes or something, so I don't need all of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Particularly at 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I'm near Best Buy right now. I think I'll jot in there and see what's on the shelves.
Yep, that's locally. A good idea.
I always try to buy local if I can get away with it.
Good.
We've heard reports that a lot of stores are starting to say we can't list a price anymore. It's like market price on fish and lobster. Today it's one price. This afternoon it's a higher price.
Yep. For solid state stuff.
Yeah.
Good luck, Larry.
All right, thank you guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah. I've said this before. I had somebody years ago gave me a TiVo. Somebody, I did some work for them. They couldn't pay me. They gave me their TiVo, brand new in the box, unopened.
I'm sorry, say again?
I never plugged it in. So I went to finally throw it out. And I thought, I wonder what the drive is in this. I mean, it's probably half a terabyte. Big deal. So I took it apart. I pulled the drive out. It's a full-size drive, but it's 3 terabytes.
Nice.
And it's a Seagate. And back then, Seagate was premier.
Yeah, so that was an extra special TiVo with a lot more recording storage.
Yes, exactly right. So
you might have cheated him on that.
I might have. So now I've got a 3 terabyte backup drive to plug into something. So, yeah. So, again, before we go back to the phones, I should point out, for those of you who need to know this, the failure rate on solid-state drives is approximately 20% per year.
Same as spinning drives.
The failure rate, which did I say? Spinning drives. I said spinning drives.
Yeah, that's where
you're going, yep. And the failure rate for solid-state drives is approximately 20% per year. So if you have a 5-year-old drive, tick, tick, tick. Do the math.
They failed differently.
Right.
It was surprising that SSDs have such a high failure rate.
Right.
I'm going to post a link to the Backblaze hard drive report.
Good.
They use literally 300,000 hard drives a month.
Right.
And so they have really good statistics on how long they last.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Matt from Batavia, New York. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up? I got a question for you guys, but I just want to throw in something to add in there to the conversation with Larry here.
Yeah.
I purchased a brand new watch from the UK on eBay. You guys forgot to mention all these tariffs that's going on. In order for the UPS guy to deliver it, I had to pay $25 or $30 just for a tariff fee.
Yep, so yep.
Part of the increase could be the tariff, I'm imagining as well.
Yep.
This is why you're seeing the hikes. So my question, is this. I run a Chromebook with Google Chrome, and I have a heck of a time when I'm in Yahoo Mail with these tabs, trying to navigate up and down just going through my emails. It always seems like they hide on me, and it always seems like I can never find them, or they're small, and I can't click on them. Is there any easy fix to make them more visible, transparent, or bigger?
Well, you can zoom in.
Okay.
Right. So in Chrome, there's a zoom feature. If you click on the easiest way to find it is to click on that those three vertical dots in the upper corner.
Yep, like the hamburger menu or whatever.
Right, right, right. Zoom. There's a zoom
gotcha.
Thing there, and you can go to like 150, wow. 200, that, 300.
Nice. That doesn't zoom the interface though, does it? Just the text on the page.
Sometimes I try putting it in full screen. It helps a little, but it just seems like it's only like a Yahoo Mail thing. It just seems like it's.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That would help there. Yeah.
Yeah, that should work.
And they also have colored tabs that you can use different tab colors.
How would I apply that by any chance?
It's part of Chrome in their settings in the. Features.
Probably under appearance. Probably under appearance.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at it right now. Settings, appearance. Yeah, I'll look around and see what I could custom tailor. I appreciate the advice, though, but I don't know. It just seems with the Yahoo Mail site, they really need to reamp that up or something.
Well, it's very 1990s.
They have to leave more room for ads.
Exactly
right.
It just seems like
because you know you're on Google Chrome, they just expect you to use Gmail. You know what I mean? But a lot of people are still stuck with Yahoo Mail, like me.
Right.
One of them.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. I just did that. I just logged into Yahoo Mail, which took me the entire time you were talking. By the way,
yeah.
That's not you. That's
Lower
Yahoo.
And
I used the Zoom function, Control+.
Okay, Control+, yep.
Or you could do it from the menu, like I said, and everything got bigger.
Gotcha. All right, perfect. Because, I just got like a little 13-inch screen on this thing. So
Right.
I mean, it's not the most ideal situation, but, it just seems like that Mail Yahoo site is just, it's just the worst.
Yeah, it's really designed to let you do email around ads.
or they want you to download the app. It always seems like on your phone.
Everybody wants the app because then they're in your phone. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it, and happy Valentine's Day to you and your guys' better halves there.
Thank you so much. You too.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye bye. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it is Valentine's Day.
Oh crap! Is it too late for home delivery? No.
Yeah. Depends on where you're ordering from.
Yeah.
My wife's not even up yet, so.
So,
so it's sitting on the table waiting for her.
Yeah, there you go. I had every year there's a problem. This year, I ordered it to show up Friday because she's at market today. And I wasn't going to be home because I'm here. We missed the delivery somehow. And so now they'll either deliver it later this afternoon or Monday.
Leave it on the front porch to freeze?
Or leave it on the front porch to freeze. Well, it's above
35 today.
Above freezing today, so.
And tomorrow.
That part's all right. All right. That very faintly heard music tells me we're about to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on the truly grateful to you that we continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1.
online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Vendry.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, or toll-free at 800-790-0415. And while you do that, I will read the Microsoft news. Way back in Windows 8, which is when I got this laptop, Microsoft introduced UEFI Secure Boot, a mechanism for verifying PC bootloaders to ensure that unverified software can't be loaded at startup. Secure Boot has relied on the same security certificates to verify bootloaders since 2011. Those original certificates are set to expire in June and October of this year. Microsoft is relying on Windows Update to provide updated certificates for fully patched, functioning PCs running supported versions of Windows with Secure Boot enabled. The transition should be seamless. While PCs will continue to function normally on an expired certificate, they will enter into a degraded security state that could limit future boot-level security updates and may experience compatibility issues with future hardware or software. So, update. Windows 10 users enrolled in the Microsoft Extended Security Updates will receive the new certificates. Microsoft's February 20...
Windows 10 users not installed...
Will not get them. Right. Microsoft's February 2026 patch Tuesday with security updates for 58 flaws, including 6 actively exploited and 3 publicly disclosed zero-day vulnerabilities. This count does not include 3 Microsoft Edge flaws fixed earlier this month. Because 6 are being actively exploited, you really should update immediately. Except, some reports are emerging that the new version is causing boot problems for users. You remember, like last month?
Yeah.
Only this is new, different boot problems. The critical startup problems appear to occur immediately after installation, causing those affected to end up in an endless loop of restarts. Just like before. We've seen this before, and it's back. AI doesn't learn from its mistake. There currently is no fix from Microsoft. This month's patch also fixes a flaw in Notepad, Microsoft's newly updated AI-enhanced whiter teeth text editor. It seems that you can create a Markdown file. Markdown is a really interesting way to create a language, you know, a way to mark up text with big headers and italics and all of that stuff.
But markup and markdown are two different languages, right?
Markdown is a way you can mark up a document. Okay. Markdown file that includes malicious code, which will execute when you load the file. So if you're one of the 3 people who are actually using Notepad, update immediately and hope you can reboot. Speaking of bugs, Microsoft has fixed a known issue causing its Family Safety Parental Control Service to block Windows users from launching Chrome or other web browsers. This is separate from the nag you get when you try to install Chrome. Once you do install it, Microsoft blocks you from running it. Please note, this was a bug, not a transparent attempt to get someone, anyone, to use Edge. It was a bug.
Anti-competitive regulators take note.
Right, and it's fixed.
That's their lie, and they're sticking to it.
Also, please note that this now fixed bug has been around since June of 2025. Microsoft is investigating an ongoing Exchange Online issue that mistakenly flags legitimate emails as phishing and quarantines them. The incident began on February 5th and continues to affect Exchange Online customers, preventing them from sending or receiving emails. Microsoft confirmed the issue is caused by a new URL rule that incorrectly flags some URLs as malicious and the emails as phishing attempts. Apparently, fixing a URL code takes many days. The AI code generator must be down. But we're still here. So give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. You know, there's a common denominator in all of these Windows issues. All of them are based on AI. Their AI code generator is, what's the technical term?
Messed up.
That's the longer technical term, but that's fine.
Crap.
If it's AI, it's crap. Look, I get it. Microsoft doesn't have enough of your money. Their investors, their stockholders are desperate for more money every quarter. And the only way they can get it is, at this point, by firing people. And the only people left to fire are the programmers. So the way that you fire programmers and still have a product available is to use AI to write your code. But it appears AI is not quite ready for prime time yet. So I think we're going to see more and more significant issues with Windows updates and Windows fixes and Windows enhancements from Microsoft. And I hate to say it, but there you are. You are the guinea pig, and remember, you are the product. So shut up and update. Okay, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dwayne from Rochester, New York. What's up, Dwayne?
Well, it's interesting you were just talking about Windows, because there's a great video on YouTube. It's called The Windows 11 Crisis Explained Like You're 5. And
oh, I like it.
It's super. It's 14 minutes long, but it touches on...
They can explain all that in only 14 minutes?
Well, it's great. And good graphics, you know, it's just super. You got to look for it. Windows 11 Crisis Explained Like You're 5. Take a look at it. I called today because I called in the past about using Balina Etcher.
Yeah.
And my situation was unique because instead of putting it on, like, Windows to make an ISO USB for installing Linux, I actually installed Balina Etcher on my Ubuntu system,
mm-hmm.
because I was making a USB for someone with a Windows system. And you may remember I had a problem because when I ran the Balina Etcher, it came up with a function exception within Balina, and I actually had to go and install an older version of Balina before it would run on my Ubuntu system. So I went that was, I don't know, weeks ago. And so the other day I wanted to edit an HTML file. So I right-clicked on the HTML file, and the right-click menu came up with the suggested application being Balina Etcher. And I said, okay, let me see what you'll do with this HTML file. And, of course, when I selected it, Balina came up and said, WTF, I can't do anything with this. So I thought, well, that's interesting, because normally your browser would be the first item to open in HTML, and then you could select an editor below it as an alternate, which is what I thought I was going to be able to do. So I Googled around, and I found that, surprisingly, this is not an unusual situation. People have found that Balina Etcher sometimes changes the MIME type of the HTML extension so that it shows up as an application that can deal with HTML files.
Interesting. Because a lot of times you install like an audio player, and it says, do you want me to be the default audio player for all your different audio?
Yeah.
I'm just testing you. No.
Yeah. Never saw that when I was going through, you know, putting Balina on the system. So, of course, I went in the terminal, and I changed the MIME type for HTML back to the browser, but very interesting. And like I said, it showed up a little bit, I think, on GitHub or whatever, that people had noticed this, and they said, you know, what's going on? And people said, oh, just go in and change your MIME type back again. Totally unsure of why Belina Etcher would try to change your MIME type on an HTML, which is a file type they don't even deal with.
Right, right, right. It sounds like bad programming, which surprises me because Belina Etcher is a pretty decent product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it may only be in the version for Linux, which, like I said, my situation where, you know, the installation threw an error, you know, that probably only happens on Linux. It probably doesn't happen on Windows where most of the people are using it.
But I've been using Belina Etcher on Linux for years. And I've never seen that. I'm using Ubuntu. I'm using XFCE. So maybe it's a GNOME issue?
I don't know, but I thought I'd just pass this along to you because to me...
Appreciate a bug that. In the current installer?
Or a bug in the current installer,
What the heck would Belina be doing with an HTML extension? And
I agree with you. It sounds very much like a dumb programming error.
Yeah. Well, second thing I want to talk to you about, I manage websites for some people, and they use cPanel, and they have been getting emails, and the email says it's cPanel from your server, and we are alerting you that your mailbox password is expiring.
Oh, great.
Unless you renew it by logging in and not changing the password. Now, isn't that delightful?
And I'm sure they give you a link to do that with.
Yep. They do. They
of course
do.
They do.
And people are probably used to passwords expiring at their office. So they just, I guess this one expires too.
Yeah. The reality is that every single possible way that people can get... I get email all the time from the admin group at nickf.com. I am... Yeah. The admin group at nickf.com.
You sure?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty sure.
Yeah. I mean, I find it necessary to tell, you know, clients or people I'm working with, if you get something and it comes from cPanel, don't follow its instructions unless you phone me and ask me.
We get the general, I don't know what any of that stuff means, so I just click OK. No, what's the worst thing you can do?
Right.
If you don't know what it means, click no, but... And call us. Call your nephew.
Yeah. In this case, call Dwayne. He's the guy.
Yep.
Yeah. It's possible, easily possible, to find out if a website is hosted using cPanel. So someone can just troll through websites,
right?
Find out that they are using cPanel, and then send an email to admin@ or whatever,
right?
And have that sound like it's coming from cPanel of your server, because who else would know that you're using cPanel? Well, anyone can find out.
Pretty much anybody, yeah.
cPanel.
Yeah. You're right, Dwayne. Thank you.
Yeah. So, for anyone who, it's not unique to cPanel. If you get email supposedly from your server or your administrator and you're told to do something, or something, you're running out of space, or your passwords have expired, or something else is terrible is going to happen to you within 24 hours, you should always call your web host.
That sense of urgency.
And ask them what's going on.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, the overt sense of urgency is a big red flag. It's going to expire tomorrow. No, you usually get like a month's notice when things expire.
Right.
Yeah, I love this, though. It said, renew your password by logging in, but not changing it. I thought.
So log in and type in the same password. Yeah.
Well, I get messages from Google. You haven't logged into your administrator account in X number of days. Do you still need this service? So, yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's different. They don't
pass that off to the customer. They haven't been doing it either.
Right.
Yeah. And not a big button for you to easily press and screw yourself.
Right, exactly.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Dwayne. Yeah. 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 There's... Scams are getting better. What?
They're getting out there. They're a daily occurrence.
And they're getting better. Like Dwayne said, it's easy to find out what website's use cPanel. And because of that, it's now then easy to send out emails to pretty much anybody on that system, or everybody on that system. Just, you know,
anyone in general. People don't know what their servers are using.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's certainly part of it.
Yep.
But, you know, even if you do know.
I got a postal letter the other day that my domain registration is about to expire. It's not, and I don't register with you.
Right.
But domain registrations are public knowledge.
Right. Well, and that's easy enough to look up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But people don't.
Yeah.
Right. So
they just pay the bill.
I have any number of domains, and I know exactly when they're going to expire. Thank you very much. But I get those all the time. Oh, we see your domain is about to urgent. Your domain is about to expire. Click here. No.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 8 months left on this domain, and it auto-renews. So thank you are the only two words I can think of.
Polite ones.
Yeah. But yeah, so folks, for real, anytime you get an email that includes a sense of urgency, a 24-hour deadline, or how many ads do you see on television? Act now. People who call in the next 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of fare.
And then an hour later, that same ad runs again and still says 5 minutes.
Yeah, right. So if you get something that says, you know, in the next hour, do not call the person who runs your website, or call someone you know, call us, call whatever. Believe me, if you get something on a Sunday morning that says you must act within the hour, you can wait till next Saturday to call us.
Yep. Well, that's the thing, and we have been preaching this for a long time.
Yeah.
People get too click happy too fast. You know, they just sit there, boom, 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 and they don't step back for a second and think about what they're doing or pay attention. Like Steve has said before, where this website is actually going to. It could be something that's off into Russia or some third world country. You got it. When in doubt, delete it. Right. If it's that important, they will get back to you.
Yeah.
The IRS and anybody else, urgent messages and doing this thing.
Yeah, that's a good one. We're getting close to tax season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fake IRS messages are going to start coming again.
Yeah. Right. So if you have an accountant, call them first.
Yep.
If you do your own taxes, call the local IRS representatives. The reality is that they aren't going to ask for a bunch of information they already have.
And they're so understaffed right now, it's
they're not
unbelievable.
Doing anything, right?
And they're not going to warn you before they come and arrest you.
Yeah.
Yeah, when did that ever happen?
So, yeah, really.
So be aware that, you know, every season has its scams. I've spoken about this before. I was sitting on a couch watching television one night, and I got a call from somebody that says, "Hi, I'm calling for your daughter. She's in jail, and she needs bail."
Mm-hmm.
I turned to my daughter, who was sitting on the couch next to me, the only daughter I have, by the way,
and said,
"Are you in prison?" She went, "What?" I said, "There's a guy on the phone who said you're in jail." Click.
Yeah.
But people are going to fall for that. And it gets worse now.
Yeah, there was a big case of that a few months ago where the voice on the phone, woman swore it was her daughter.
Yep.
In a car accident, they're taking me to jail. A courier showed up to collect the $10,000 bail.
Yep.
Oh, really?
And then a couple hours later, the daughter called mom again, and oh my God, the woman in the other car was pregnant and the baby died. They want another $50,000 or they're sending me to prison, and the courier's on his way again. And by that time, the son had come home from school and was talking to mom, "Well, just call her. Let's see."
Yeah.
So they called the daughter. Nothing new.
Right.
Of what was happening. But the voice on the phone was so perfect.
Well, I hope they
perfect.
Arrested the courier when he got there.
Well,
followed him back.
Yeah. Traced him back to whoever hired him.
Right. But yeah, it's that sense of urgency.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're trying to. How did they get her voice She must have been a well-known enough person.
Right.
To get, so it had to be somebody local in that town to send the courier anyway. Well, not necessarily.
Well,
but probably, yeah.
Well, if she has a Facebook page and followers.
Yeah.
If she's on Instagram, if she's on YouTube.
You can generate a complete person's voice with a few phone
It would be
phonemes.
Easy enough to grab all three of our voices.
Yeah. And
create anything you want. AI will do that now.
Yep. Yep.
But, you know, so you need to be. Listen, just to put that out there, I'm not going to call any of you ever. So if you get a call from me, and we have not personally interacted in person, in IRL, in real life, it's probably not me, just so we know.
Well, usually I would set something up, a time and everything else.
Right.
I'm not just going to call out of the blue.
Watch Rob start using us for donations. Hi, this is Nick, Dave, and Steve from Soundbites.
Yeah.
Have you donated yet?
Well, that would be possible. And I'll guarantee you, if Rob wanted to do that, he would ask us first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's different.
It was in the contract we signed.
Oh, that contract, right. So, yeah, but
along with our raises?
Yeah. That's where our raise table is laid out.
Mm-hmm.
How often we get raises, yeah. And our pay scale.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Zero. We got double what we were paid last year.
That's exactly right. Our rate has doubled. So.
We're paying them. We're volunteers. We're paying them.
That's exactly right. But that's be careful. Anytime you get a call or an email or whatever with that sense of urgency, step back.
Yeah.
Step back.
Take a moment, take a breath, and think about what is transpiring.
Right.
Because that's the whole thing. They're trying to play on your emotions, trying to get you to that quick gut reaction that you got to throw you into panic mode and do something instantly.
Yep.
No, you don't have to.
To make you stop and think, just panic and react and give them your money.
Yep.
Yeah. So, look, if you get a call from a number you don't know, I know they can do this on Android phones. I think they can do it as well on iPhones.
Yeah.
You can screen the call.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The
listen to the voicemail that they're leaving. Remember in the olden days, you could listen to the tape recorder on your answering machine?
Oh, yes, you could.
Now we're back to that.
Well, I have a screen thing where it comes
transcribes
up and says,
it
comes up and says, this is the Google bot. Why don't you tell us what you're calling about?
Mm-hmm.
And then it will listen. And, when I bought my car.
Yeah,
I got a call from a number I did not recognize. It was not in my contact list, so it came up as just a phone number, and I hit that. And it turned out to be my guy calling from his personal cell phone while he was on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I picked up. He said, this is such and so from such and so automobile place, and I'm calling for Nick. Okay, click, I'm in.
Yep.
That's that, But I almost never... If I get a call and it comes up with someone in my contact list, I answer. If it's not in my contact list, I always hit screen call. Always. And 99% of the time, click.
Yeah.
Spam likely. He keeps calling me.
He keeps calling. Good old spam. He's a guy. So these functions are out there and you should be using them. One of the things, again, that I love about Gmail is they have excellent spam filters. Just excellent spam filters. So, use them. Pay attention to them. All right. That music tells us the first hour of this show is done, but do not stray because there's another hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe heading your way. Another hour of Dave Enright. Most of another hour with Steve Ray. Missed some of the first hour, so maybe we'll give him a whole second hour. I don't know. And another hour of me, Nick Francesco, and another hour of you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Do not stray far.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And our next caller is Roger from Greece, New York. What's up, Roger?
Hi. I want to buy a computer, and I'm thinking about buying a refurbished computer from Best Buy, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Check the warranty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On a refurbed computer, yeah, the warranty is as important as the computer.
The key.
If not more so. The big question is why it's refurbed. It could be someone, you know, I've seen here, you know, tricks. Buy two computers, take them home, use them for a week to see which one you like more, and then return it in while it's still in the return policy. Is it a floor model that got beat up on the floor by customers for a year before they're selling it? Yeah, so.
How much memory's in it? How much disk space?
Yeah.
Sometimes the floor models are the bottom of the line as far as, you know, what they're offering.
Yeah.
If you're ordering from Best Buy locally or on their website?
Well, I've been looking at their website.
Okay.
I guess.
Check the return policy. Again, you know, one of the things, look, I personally, I'm a huge, huge fan of refurbed computers. Every computer I own except my new desktop is refurbed.
And partly that's because we can fix them if there's a problem.
We can fix them if there's a problem, yeah, if we understand the issues that are involved in getting a refurbed laptop. If you're comfortable that what you're getting is good, so find out a little bit of the history, if you can. If from the website you're not going to be able to find out much, but if you go into Best Buy and it's a floor model, have them show you it running. You know, check, play with it a bit, see how it's doing. When you get it, even if you get it from the website, run some tests on it. There are tests that will tell you how healthy the hard drive is. There are tests that will tell you how, you know, you can test the RAM. You can play with all the keys, try all the features of the laptop, turn on the camera, listen to the speakers, et cetera, and do all that within the return policy date.
There's also sometimes an interesting difference between factory refurbished,
right?
So it went back to Dell and refurbished it, or Best Buy refurbished it,
right?
I would tend to trust the factory a little more,
right?
Not that anything's wrong with Best Buy, but you know, the factory might know better,
right? To recap, there is nothing wrong with buying refurbs. I do it all the time. But you need to be aware that it takes a little more care when you buy a refurb laptop.
Okay, I noticed that some or many of them seem to come from other parts of the country. Is this a something to be concerned about?
No, that's completely normal. They get them from where they get them, and they sell them to where they sell them. It doesn't. There's nothing.
Warehouse means nothing. All over.
A company replaced their three-year-old computers with new ones, and now there's 1,000 new computers in the refurb channel.
Right. And they were in Arizona, and you're in Rochester. Doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. I'm thinking about that I should get one, like, with Intel i7 and maybe 1 terabyte. This is for just general surfing the web and, word processing, that sort of thing.
That's overkill for that stuff.
But it will last longer.
It will last longer. Yeah. Exactly.
One thing to look at is what chip it has in it. What are we on, the 16th generation
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. so.
So I'm looking at Best Buy's refurb. They have a Dell i5 for $350, and it's pretty good. But the chip is a 1334, so it's three generations old.
Right, it's a 13th generation chip.
Yeah, which is fine.
For what Roger's talking about doing,
yeah.
It's more than perfect. If you're a programmer or whatever, no.
Gamer.
Gamer or an artist, no. But for what you're talking about, you don't need super high-end power. You don't need, generally, you won't use most of a terabyte. Depending on, how many images and how many songs and all of that stuff you put on it. But, you could get away with a half a terabyte and be okay. So a terabyte drive and i7 processor is an awfully good system.
Okay.
It was my main desktop until I bought my new machine. That's exactly the machine I had. How much RAM does it have?
I'm looking at 32 gigabytes.
Perfect.
DDR4.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Okay.
You'll be more than fine. That's a decent. That's a good system.
Okay, it's an HP.
Good brand.
HP makes good stuff.
But, so you have a brand to support too. So beyond Best Buy, you can also go directly to HP.
Right. One thing you can do is go to HP and type in your serial number, and it will tell you if there are any updates for your drivers, et cetera, that you need to put on that machine. They probably did that for you, but you can do that regularly yourself.
Okay.
So, an HP machine, i7, 16-gig RAM, terabyte hard drive, that's an awfully good machine. Again, right. Refurb, okay. Again, that's a pretty new machine. So the refurb is unlikely to have been because it was so old and decrepit
mm-hmm.
that somebody got rid of it.
It had so many problems they had to return it.
Right. So it is more likely to be at the other end of the spectrum, which is somebody just decided they didn't want it, or a company went out of business or upgraded to something newer, and that went on the used market.
Very good. Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your help here. You've clarified things a lot for me.
We're glad to do that. Let us know how it works out for you, Roger.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, like we've said, refurb is fine, particularly in this economy. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
But you need to be a little careful. What Roger is talking about is a higher end system. It's a newer system. Yes, three generations back, but three generations back is still a newer system.
Yeah.
And so you've got a fair confidence that machine is in good condition, that it wasn't returned because somebody dropped an elephant on it. So I think, you're in pretty good shape there.
One of my biggest annoyances is we had someone who bought a used computer to just simple word processing, maybe a little web surfing, comes back the next day. Oh, my games are too slow.
Yes,
they will be. You didn't say you wanted games. We would have sold you a better computer if you're going to do games on it.
Right. Well, what people think is if I tell them I want games, they're going to stiff me. They're going to oversell me, yeah. And so
there's a reason you pay $1,000 for a computer.
Right.
Because, to do that type of thing.
Right. So I'll tell them I'm going to do just word processing, mm-hmm. and then I can save money. Well, then when you run that high-end game,
You're screwed.
You're screwed.
We sold a high-end laptop into a company that does television commercials, and $5,000.
Yes.
64 gigs of RAM and a 8-terabyte storage drive.
And that makes sense.
Yeah.
They are absolutely going to need all of that to do video editing stuff.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. When I get an old laptop, I don't do high-end games on old laptops. I don't do high-end audio or video processing on old laptops. I use old laptops as if they were high-end Chromebooks.
Well, that was one of the things when we had our my business going, is the first thing, you know, someone come in and say, I want a new computer. But the first question I start asking them is, all right, what are you going to do with it? Because they'd come in and say, well, I want to do this, this, and this. And then I'd step back and say, what are you actually going to do with it? And 90% of the people, well, I got to surf the web and check my emails, do some letters, and, you know, email and all that type, and just general surfing. Then you don't need to spend for the high graphics card and accelerator and everything else. A midsize's going to do you, not the top, you know, the Cadillac.
And there's a
difference. Until they say, well, maybe a couple of games.
Well, and there's a difference between casual games, you know, solitaire or whatnot, and first-person shooters.
Yeah. Right.
That's those graphic cards that are now $1,000 for a low-end graphics card so that you can be a little bit faster in Call of Duty.
Right. Yeah, and so, you know, if you're going to buy a computer, you absolutely should buy as much as you can afford because it will last a lot longer. But you also don't necessarily need to go crazy depending on what you do with it. So I have a very high-end desktop, which I'll be honest, I don't need anymore. You know, I really don't, but I have one. But my laptop is a pretty low-end machine because I'm not going to do any of that stuff on the low-end machine. I'm going to take it, you know, if I'm going somewhere, I'm going to want to do email and surfing the web, basically, and I need nothing more than a Chromebook for that.
Nope.
And so if I'm going to, you know, take something on a trip, I'm happy to take a Chromebook because if I lose it, I'm out a couple of $100 as opposed to $1,000. And it's not a big deal. And so you buy depending entirely on your usage. So, you know, in Roger's case, he partially he knows he's going to be overbuying, but it also means it'll last him a lot longer. And particularly when you're running, I run Linux, and if I put Ubuntu on an i3, it runs like a charm. You know, it's fine. But if you're going to run Windows 11, you want an i7 and you want it to, you know, at least an i7 and you want it to have the TPM 2.0 chip and yada yada. Now you're in higher territory to begin with.
Yep.
And faster is better because Windows is slow.
Yeah, you can buy, like I say, you don't have to go the Cadillac and you don't have to go the mid-car. There's something in the middle that'll fit your needs now and down the road.
Right,
so it gives you a little more room for expansion. Maybe all of a sudden you started taking some more photos or doing some editing, and all of a sudden you needed some extra space. Maybe you only temporarily.
The new grandbaby that came along that now you got to do all the videos of.
You know? Right. Things change. But, you know, is your everyday use of this computer, is your everyday use to go to the store twice a week to buy milk, or are you driving at Le Mans? Right. So, you know, you're somewhere in that spectrum, and you buy comparatively.
You should have taken your cube to the 24 Hours of Lemons.
I had a 1968 Chevy Bel Air hatchback that I sold to a friend of mine who took it to a demolition derby.
Yeah.
And we all went and cheered as it eventually met its maker.
At Daytona 500 this weekend.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. And poor Cletus, in his truck racing debut, spun out on lap 6 and tore up the grass in the infield.
Oh, well.
it's like he's sliding down the infield and all the grass is damming up in front of the bumper.
He
said, I was just so glad I didn't hit anybody else.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because he's got no control at that point.
Yeah, grass is easy to...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right. While you're calling us at 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free at 800-790-0415, I will read the Google and Apple news. Back in 2022, Google deprecated and then removed JPEG-XL image support from the Chrome Chromium browser code base, and now in 2026, it's back. Chrome 145 is being pushed out to the stable channel across Windows, Mac OS, and Linux systems. Chrome 145 also adds support for the Text Justify CSS property, column wrapping support in multicol, device-bound session credentials, and SQL Lite backend for IndexedDB, reduced usage agent strings by default, upsert, and other enhancements. That meant nothing to most of us. There are people on the internet who want to know all about you. Unfortunately, they don't have the best of intentions, but Google has some handy tools to address that, and they've gotten an upgrade. The Results About You tool can now detect and remove more of your personal information. Plus, the tool for removing non-consensual explicit imagery, or NCEI, is faster to use. All you have to do is tell Google your personal details first. All of them. Like your passport, your driver's license, and social security number. That seems safe, right?
Was it Facebook that said upload nudes to us so we can ever watch to see if someone puts up a nude of you?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Right, exactly. Google continues to turn the screws on free YouTube users, expanding a test that restricts access to song music lyrics on YouTube Music. Users without a premium subscription have found that Google streaming music service only shows song lyrics a few times before demanding money. Because Google doesn't have enough, and you have so much, won't you think of the stockholders? State-backed hackers are using Google's Gemini AI model to support all stages of an attack, from reconnaissance to post-compromise actions. Cybercriminals are also showing increased interest in AI tools and services that could help in illegal activities such as social engineering. Click fix campaigns are social engineering. Google has dismantled accounts and infrastructure tied to documented abuse and has implemented targeted defenses in Gemini's classifiers to make abuse harder, but hackers are clever, so keep being careful. On Wednesday, Apple released the latest major updates for OS 26, iPad OS 26, and Mac OS 26 Tahoe, and all the other operating systems it released back in September of 2025. The 26.3 updates for these operating systems are fairly mild, focusing mostly on bug fixes and security patches, but Apple is adding a handful of iPhone features designed to make it easier to use third-party devices in Apple's ecosystem. For those of you breathlessly waiting Gemini-powered Siri, that's slated right now, at least, for the next update, 26.4. Except, maybe not. Apple's been promising a better Siri since 2024, and it looks like it might be pushed back yet again until the May iOS update, or even until the release of iOS 27 in September. Apparently, Apple ran into trouble when testing the software, requiring the launch date to be pushed back further. Or is that farther? No, it's further. This news causes the second largest one-day stock price decline in Apple ever. In the meantime, Gemini, Claude, ChatGPT, and a dozen others still work. And so do we. So give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415.
Apple also released updates for Mac OS 15 and 14, as well as iOS, I think, 18 and 17. So typically you get the current version and two previous versions.
Right.
So even if you're not on OS 26 yet, there probably was an update. There was a huge security vulnerability fixed in one of them, too.
Right. This reminds me to remind you that, yes, Apple computers can have malware. You need to continue to be secure and safe. I would have hoped we were past this by now.
Yeah.
But apparently there are still people who think that Macs, Apple systems and Linux systems can't get malware. They can. It is not just Windows. Yes, we tend to talk about Windows a lot because there are way more of them on Windows, but they're not exclusive to Windows. So if you're running any sort of operating system, you should be running some sort of anti-malware on it. You know, we say to people, well, people say to us rather, well, almost all viruses, nobody writes viruses anymore, and all viruses are written for Windows machines. Well, no.
Uh-uh.
That's completely untrue. And even if it were true, You want to be a good network citizen. You don't want to pass viruses on to somebody else who's using Windows. So you want to run an antivirus program and an anti-malware program on your machine to clear that stuff out before you inadvertently pass it on.
Yeah. Apple also, a couple of weeks ago, released an iOS 12 update.
Wow.
For the iPhone 5, 11-year-old, 12-year-old iPhone 5S and later, update the security certificates.
Right.
To new dates, like what's going to happen with the Windows EFI.
Right.
So your perfectly fine 12-year-old phone will suddenly start saying it can't get to websites because the certificate expired.
Right.
So install that 12.5.8 update.
Yep, if you have and you know, kudos to Apple. They're supporting really yep. old hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. I wish there were more of that. We have way too much e-waste. We need more companies to step up and say, look, I get it. You're not in the position, particularly in this economy, to buy a new computer or a new phone or a new whatever. So we're going to continue to support you. I love this idea.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just a basic phone for you and you want to be able to text and talk on it. You're good to go.
Yeah, exactly right. No, you can't. You don't get all the bells and whistles that iOS 26 gives you. But so what? You can still make phone calls, send texts, take pictures.
Yeah, and you know, the picture quality is still good.
Yeah, exactly.
On right. some of the current phones versus some of the older cameras.
Exactly right. So, and most people aren't. You know, I have friends who are professional photographers. They get new phone, a new cameras regularly. Most of us are not. I hate to be the one to break it to you. Most of us are not professional photographers.
Mm-hmm.
The cameras in our phones are better than we are.
Oh heck yeah!
So don't even worry about that. That's just the way that is. So
there were a bunch of stories last week about how the OS 26 adoption rate is horrible, and Apple chagrined. 74% of phones capable of running it are running it. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Good statistics.
Well, yeah. That's the problem Apple has always had.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not perfect, they're crap.
Yeah.
You know, with Windows, you expect them to be crap.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's Gates's better terminology.
Phrase back in the olden
right.
days.
Good enough.
You know, Steve Jobs said, we're better. And Bill Gates says, we're good enough.
We're good enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Good
enough for government, close enough for government work.
Yeah, perfect is the enemy of good enough.
Exactly right. And yes, that's true in many things. But with Apple, their people expect them to be perfect. And so, yeah, they're not. And 75%, anybody else would be dancing in the streets. People saying Apple's only at 75% only.
Well, last year it was 70. At this time, it was 76%.
Oh, there you are.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Harumph, harumph.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I get
slouchers.
That.
Slouchers.
Yeah, slouchers.
Especially because 26 is so different looking.
Well, and that's the problem. People don't like change.
Yeah.
People don't like change. Now, some change is horrible. Windows 8 was a horrible, yeah. horrible change.
Assuming mm-hmm. It assumed you had a touchscreen.
Right.
Which were yeah. very, very uncommon
and
at the time.
It didn't even do that well.
Yeah. No, it... Junk.
It was junk. But most of the time, you know, adding liquid glass is not a bad thing. It just looks different. With Linux, when they upgrade something, sometimes the look changes. An app, for example, not even the operating system, but an app changes where the buttons are. Yes, you've got muscle memory. I know this intimately because I just bought a new car. Nothing is where I remember it to be. My transmission now is push buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time I go to shift, I do this. I reach for the shifter that's no longer there.
Yep.
Every single time. I did that for 16 years. It's going to take a while for me to relearn it. That doesn't mean that the new transmission system is crap. It just means I'm not used to it yet.
You've forgotten one all-time Microsoft.
Oh, you're going to say the name you hate. You're saying it, though. I'm yep. going to say it.
I mean, it was their worst failure on earth. It did not hit the shelves, and it was still being sold out by the old product.
Yep.
And that was Windows ME.
Yep. Yep. It was. Yeah, that was horrifyingly bad.
That was the worst
product. An unfortunate thumbnail placement.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. It was that one. Windows ME and Windows 8 were huge missteps for Microsoft.
And they fixed it in 8.1, but it was too late.
ME had already buried them, you know, forget it. They were going back to Windows 7 because Windows 7 was so rock solid.
Yeah, well, that was the problem.
We think that's why the part could be a part of the reason why they skipped 9. We're going to write to 10 and forget all that 8 stuff and 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes,
but Apple skipped a 9 too, so maybe
maybe there's I don't know, is 9 a bad number, and
it could be
somebody's an unlucky number, yeah. Somebody's philosophy there somewhere. Yeah, I don't know, but I do know that we're going to take a quick break, but don't go too far because we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. We'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Fred. No, we don't. We have Ken from Rochester, New York on the line. Hiya, Ken. What's up? Sorry about that.
No worries. I answer every name, Nick.
Any loud noise. Just don't call me late for dinner.
That's right. Don't call me late for that. This morning, I happened to hear in... was on the TV, but this fellow, excuse me, is usually on the radio. His name's Sir Kamish. His first name's Michael. He had an author on, Joseph Steinberg, Steinberg, Cybersecurity for Dummies. And I thought, hey, well, what the heck? I'll ask you guys if you've read it or know anything about it.
I have not read that particular one, no. But it, you know, if it's one of the true four dummies series,
they're usually pretty good.
They're usually pretty good. Yeah, I see it here. Yeah, it's a real four dummies book.
He is a lecturer at Columbia, so he's got to be pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Credentials.
So yeah, it sounds like it would be a pretty good book. I may have to pick up a copy myself, take a look through it.
And may I ask another question?
Of course. Thanks, by the way, for that.
Well, just before we go there. At Macworld one year, I fixed the computer for the author of Max for Dummies on stage because he couldn't get it to run before his seminar.
Steve, your credentials go without question.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we question them all the time and for years.
So what's your other question?
Well, my other question is... it's quite some time ago, I think. I'm an intermittent listener, so I don't hear every week. I remember you, Nick, talking about scaring the listeners when you used to provide some of the information that was encapsulated in the person's data that transmits over the network via the Internet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is there a way for the average user to see that on their own?
Learn how to be a hacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is, oh man.
There are services like Delete Me and a couple other ones that will scrub your data for you, but you have to keep paying them because your data shows up again and again and again, so they're all subscription services. They're usually not too expensive, $10 a month, but that can add up.
Yeah, there is a site called privacy.net, and they have a subdirectory called Analyzer. And it will show you what data are exposed by your browser.
Oh, the EFF Panopticlick.
Panopticlick is another one. Yeah. Okay. And either one of those. And really, it's basically a data-rich profile. It tells them, it tells who you are, where you are. It knows your history and your cookies, and it knows your fingerprint, which is your unique device configuration. It tells people your IP address. Of course, it has to do that in order to get data back. What type of device, what fonts are on it, what browsing habits you have. And it lets that fingerprint lets advertisers track you all over the web and build a fairly precise personal profile. Now, you can't get rid of all of it. For example, every place has to know your IP address, otherwise they can't send data back to you. But if you were to go to either Panopticon or Panopticlick,
Panopticon is the prison for the doctor.
Right. Panopticlick or privacy.net in Chrome versus Brave versus Firefox, you would see your eyes would be opened. This is why many people are moving from Chrome to Brave.
Okay. I do remember or recall some of the things you said. You didn't give real specifics, but just that the part that you scared people. And I I've often told them, at the very least, like you said, your IP has to be present. I don't know if your MAC, your media access control number, right down to the node, would be available. I often wonder myself, even though I've never done it before, just to see it. I'm not looking to try and curtail it or block it or any of those things. So that was the other thing.
And it's like every little piece of that information was added to the browser to be useful to somebody somewhere. But the bad guys have taken it to help it easier to track you between websites. To steal your information, they'll the other one is have I been pwned? Will let you know if your email address is seen in a breach. So they get your name from this breach, they get your credit card number from that breach, they get your address from the other breach, and now they can sign up for a new credit card in your name.
How nice, huh?
Yeah,
it's getting worse. Dave's memorable words of it's a what did you call it, Dave? A hop skip or a
Leapfrogging.
Yeah, leapfrogging.
Leapfrog. There you go. Okay, well, I'm tired of that. But unfortunately, we're all in the same game. I appreciate all your help. Thanks for answering my questions. And you fellas have a great day.
You too, sir.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
So, yeah, you can go over to Panopticlick. Covertracks.eff.org. That's the one. And it will test your browser. And talk about how easy it is to identify and track you. Cover your tracks. .org.
Yep.
.eff.org.
Panopticlick will tell you how unique your browser is, and the answer is pretty unique.
Yeah.
Your screen size. So the exact pixel dimensions of your window are sent by the browser to the other end, so the other end knows how to format the page.
Right.
But then that can be used to fingerprint you. So your screen is 1152 by 927. So that must be Joe again.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and when you add that to which fonts you have installed and what apps you have installed and
position on the screen.
Yeah. And all that stuff. So I'm
they're
you know,
all factors that tie into it.
You know, that looks okay. So how okay, so it says, for example, one in X browsers, one in 775 browsers. That sounds like a lot. There are billions of browsers on the internet.
Yeah.
That's really specific.
Mm-hmm.
That's really specific.
That's not like a needle in a haystack.
Right. So yeah, you know, when you use a different browser, like I said, go to coveryourtracks.eff.org, and I'm sure that's
I've
on
got
our list
to both of them. Yep.
Yeah. Go there with Chrome, with Safari, with Firefox, with Brave, with Vivaldi, with DuckDuckGo, you know, whatever browsers you have, and see what information, go with links, go with W3M, go, you know, whatever you got, and see the difference, and you'd be shocked at what some browsers give up about you and what some browsers block. So be very aware that that is just one of many ways that you are constantly tracked on the internet.
62.95% of browsers are set to English, just like mine.
Yep.
Interesting. 70% of the world's traffic that have gone through privacy.net are set to English.
I don't think it's just on privacy.net. Yeah, I think they're gathering statistics from all over the place.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, now miscellaneous news. Speaking of security, North Korean hackers are running tailored campaigns using AI-generated video and the click-fix technique to deliver malware for Mac OS and Windows to target in the cryptocurrency sector. So even if you're not into crypto, be aware that these attacks are out there and will root around on your hard drive. You know, too often I hear somebody say, well, I don't do crypto. No, the only way they're going to find whether you do crypto is if they root around in your hard drive. So what else are they gathering? Oh, everything. Microsoft is warning that hackers can tell if you're still on Windows 10 and are targeting you directly. We predicted this back before Windows 11 came out. So upgrade for only $13 right now to Windows 11. Of course, unless, of course, you're running Windows 10 on that old piece of junk you bought just last year, like Dave did, then you're out of luck. Sorry, citizen. Ubuntu 24.04.4 LTS is now available as a refreshed installation media for Noble Numbat, bundling the latest updates and offering a current hardware enablement stack for new deployments. Ubuntu 24.04 LTS will receive maintenance updates and security patches for 5 years from its initial release, with extended security maintenance options available thereafter. An Anthropic staffer, that wasn't easy to say, who led a team researching AI safety, departed the company Monday, darkly warning both of a world, and I quote, in peril, and the difficulty in being able to let, and I quote, our values govern our actions, without any elaboration, in a public resignation letter that also suggested the company had set its values aside. Murnank Shamar, who had led Anthropic Safeguard's research team since its launch last year, shared his resignation letter in a post on X Monday morning. In it, he said, "It is clear to me that the time has come to move on," stating that the world is in peril, not just from AI, but from a whole series of interconnected crises unfolding in this very moment. Sharma said he may pursue a poetry degree. Well, that's not alarming at all. Discord is facing backlash after announcing that all users will soon be required to verify ages to access adult content by sharing video selfies or uploading government IDs.
Because there's no other way to do it.
Uploading government IDs. According to Discord, it's relying on AI technology that verifies the age on the user's device, either by evaluating a user's facial structure or by comparing a selfie to a government ID. Alarmed Discord users protested the move, doubting whether Discord could be trusted with their most sensitive information after Discord age verification data were recently breached. Mm-hmm. For bad actors, Discord will likely only become a bigger target as more sensitive information is collected worldwide. Users now fear.
More and more states, and even the entire country of Australia, has now banned the social media.
Yeah.
Everyone in Australia has to prove their age, to prove they're over 16 to be able to go to social media. There is no valid privacy-safe way to do that.
Right.
But that doesn't apparently stop the lawmakers from doing it.
Right, exactly. Well, and listen, we don't care who you are, so give us a call. Yeah. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. You don't even have to give us your real name.
There was even a proposal that has been since withdrawn in the EU to ban VPNs.
Right.
Because kids use VPNs to get around geographic restrictions.
Yeah.
Millions of businesses use VPNs every day.
Every day for legitimate purposes.
Yeah. So it's a mess.
Double-edged sword.
So states, Blue Sky, Mississippi put a statewide ban unless you can prove you're over 16. But there's no way to do that. Upload your, so they want you to upload your government ID that has your age on it, And then tomorrow they're going to leak that ID in a data breach, and you're screwed. So it's the politicians don't understand. Well, you're technology. You're smart. You'll figure something out.
Mastodon has
Mastodon and Discord are
killed
similar.
Mastodon has killed their what they call the community feed, the fire hose, where just everything goes by because there's porn on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, if you want that, you have to search for it, and you have to subscribe to it. Now it's on you, not on
you
them.
You own it.
Right. Which also means you don't see new stuff. I'm not that interested in the porn, but I am interested in seeing new users who have interesting things to say that I like. Now I can't find them.
Yeah.
So that, and I understand why they did it, but it means that Mastodon is now less interesting to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People keep saying that it should be Apple and Google on the app stores. In fact, there was a proposed law for that. The app store should prove how old you are by uploading your photo to Apple or Google. Okay, I'll just use the web then.
Right.
There are so many ways around whatever they are trying to legislate, because there's no technically feasible way this could be done.
Right. And there isn't. You know, because
it's on the computer. You go to a liquor store and try to buy alcohol. They want to see your ID. They just look at it. They don't, well, maybe some do. They don't save the data.
Right.
That can then get breached later.
There was
a thing in England where you could go into a pub, show your ID, and then the pub would somehow tell the internet that you were of age.
Right.
Somehow. If you're smart, you'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out.
One other thing that I learned just yesterday. All right. Car insurance. I got my new policy and all that, and I'm sitting there saying, you know, I don't do that many miles. She goes, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
I go, how? They go, every time you go in for an inspection, they have to report the mileage, and that mileage gets fed to the insurance companies so they can find out how much in a year you drive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they can base the rates on. You know, whether you're a light, you know, you only drive a little or moderate, or how your driving habits. And it's all out there. And again, information that they use.
My insurance company gave me a dongle to plug into the car.
Right.
That lowers my rates if I drive well. And I'm.
Yeah, that wouldn't work for me.
I'm knowingly doing it. Excuse me. Because I have a tangible benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
So someone jokingly said, if the website said, can I steal your information if I give you a buck?
People were, they did an experiment. They walked up to people on the street and said, give us your password and we'll give you a bar of chocolate. And then they made them give them the password, and they logged on to Facebook, the Facebook password. They logged on to Facebook in front of them, and if they could, they gave them a bar of chocolate. 90% of the people said yes for a bar of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Holy moly.
There was a British store page a few years ago that had a checkbox about selling us your firstborn soul.
Yep.
And it was checked on by default. And millions, well, probably hundreds of thousands in Britain at least.
Right.
didn't uncheck it.
Right.
And so after Christmas, they started sending out letters. All right, send us your soul.
Well, and there was somebody did that in their terms of service.
Mm-hmm.
The thing you never read and just click accept.
Yeah, okay.
And they did something very similar in terms of service. And they, of course, didn't really have any way to collect your soul.
Well, this is a South Park episode where Kyle got kidnapped by Apple to use for medical experiments because it was in the terms and condition.
Yeah.
I love it. Whole episode, everyone they talk to is just incredulous that, what do you mean you didn't read the terms and conditions? Everyone reads the terms and conditions.
Well, that's just...
I do.
Yeah.
Well, on the internet for the longest time, there were a lot of places that when you signed up for something, the default was to auto-renew.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
On by default. And then all of a sudden, people thought, oh, that ran out last year. And all of a sudden, they get this bill. And so, No, I didn't sign up for this again. Yeah, no, you didn't unsign up for it.
Yeah,
right.
I like.
Oh, there's a guy who put up a bunch of posters in his town with a 900 number. 900 numbers cost money for you to call.
Mm-hmm.
A 900 number to report illegal aliens. He doesn't work for the government. He never looked at the inbox, at the voicemail box. All he did was collect money from people. He made tens of thousands of dollars. Nobody seemed to mind that they were paying $6 a minute to report on their neighbors.
Oh, really?
Unbelievable.
Now, naive me, I thought you meant outer space aliens. That was my first thought. Oh, no. Okay.
Maybe that's what he meant.
The signs of today. Yeah, he could have meant that. So, okay. So, ICE has an 866 number that's toll-free, at least.
Yeah. At least it's toll-free. But this was a 900 number. You mm-hmm. pay. You pay. Anytime you call a 900 number, you're paying.
That's a good scam.
Legit. There's a little part of me somewhere deep in my soul that says, you could do this. You could do this. I don't know that there's anything illegal about it. I honestly don't know.
Yeah,
if there's a lawyer listening, is this actually illegal to do?
There was a big scam a few years ago. You open a P.O. box and then advertise, send a dollar to P.O. box whatever, and I'll send you instructions how to make tons of money. And the instructions are open a P.O. box and send a... They shut that down for postal fraud. And his guy's argument was, I fulfilled my promise.
Yes.
But they didn't believe him.
Well, it's no different than the ads that used to say, get this solar dryer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. $20. And then all of a sudden people would pay the money, and then in the mail came this package, and it was 50 foot of clothesline.
Yeah. That's a solar dryer.
Yeah.
Yep.
My mother was solar.
Use the free power of the sun.
Yep.
Yeah. But clothes smelt so much better.
Oh, they did.
Back in the day, you know, my mother would put the sheets and everything else
on. They smelled better. They felt better. Yeah.
Our house was next to a sheep farm. We didn't hang clothes out.
That's right near a cabbage.
My in-laws lived in the middle of a cabbage farm. So,
the garden grew really good.
Yeah, but that's...
Stunk like heck.
Yeah. The scams that are out there just get better and better and better.
Creative minds.
And people just aren't thinking. And I guess that's just the way it is nowadays. People don't think first. And again, before we're done, let me remind you, if you get the more urgent an email or a text message or a phone call is, the farther back you should step before you act. Absolutely. And like I said, in the case of my daughter or that other person, if they say you're in jail, you hang up and you call that person and find out if they're actually in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, the grandson kidnapping scam comes around again. Or what's the other one that's good? Oh, I'm stuck at Heathrow Airport. I got mugged and I lost my plane ticket. Send me money.
Right.
Are you expecting that person to be at an airport? Yeah.
To be anywhere? Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, I get it. We don't know what all our grandchildren are doing all the time. They all have phones. You have their numbers. Call them. Hi, honey, I got a message that you were in jail. What? No, I'm not in jail. It's a scam. Thank you. Goodbye. Click. Done. Finished. If you call and nobody answers, or more likely the police will answer, then you say, is my child in jail? They say yes. Now you can go and say, let's fix that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, for what? Yeah. But that's different from... send a courier to my home. I'll give you $50,000. Not a problem. You got to be very careful. And yes, it's hard because you're in the privacy and safety of your own home.
You think it's safe because you're in your own home.
Right. And I get that. But you have to be a cynic. And I hate to say that on Valentine's Day. Yes, it's still Valentine's Day. Be good to your significant, or in your case, maybe insignificant, I don't care, other. And may your Valentine's Day be joyful and filled with love. And it is also National Organ Donor Day. So think about that as well. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. I definitely want to thank everybody who called in. Good challenging questions this week. I like challenging questions. And if you didn't call in, well, that's okay. We're going to meet tomorrow night at 9 p.m. in the Mastermind Lounge, the Soundbites Lounge on mastermind.com. You'll find a link on our website. And otherwise, we'll see you next week on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?